Blog Talk Radio.
This is T.J. Morris, and this is E.T. Radio. This is the night for E.T. Ascension Age 2012 and beyond, and sharing as associate guides for the world. Our tags tonight are brain training, spirituality, mind, body, spirit, Ascension Age, alien E.T. UFO community, and our category is paranormal for the night, meaning anything not normal we'll probably talk about it. So we're visible to everyone. Our duration is 120 minutes, thereabouts. This is Friday, and it's October 5th, 2012. And where I'm sitting in the world, it's 2000 hours, meaning 8 p.m. prime time for Blog Talk Radio from 6 to 10. We are T.J. Morris and friends, and I'll introduce them to you in just a moment. We share the extraterrestrial community thoughts of the paranormal. That is metaphysics, ontology, secrets of the extraterrestrial belief systems of the Ascension Age. We're sharing entertainment for the future and portals in time. Is there portals in time? First of all, Back to the Future was a great movie. I don't know if you remember it. Back in 1985, what were you doing when we did the Michael J. Fox Back to the Future movie? Where do loved ones go? Is there another dimension? What happens when they pass over? We don't like to say that they died, but that is common around the world. We've gotten over into the spiritual world of saying they've passed over. Passed over what? Passed over to where? Where do our loved ones go? Is it into another dimension? Is that space? If it's space, what is space? Are we spirit? E.T. Ascension Age 2012 and Beyond is about how to connect to our associated guides. Now, we have associate guides, our associated guides, and the associate guides is going to now be a website so we can actually begin creating associates and getting them to guide us to somewhere. Where that is, we don't know at this point. We're going to create that. And I'm trying to filter out, being that I am a prior government investigator, prior legal investigator, and prior private investigator, not to mention psychic and spiritual advisor, I'm trying to bring together all those I have worked with in the past, including in psychic fairs and festivals, and they are mystics, oracles, psychics, sages, seers, and shaman. And we have the associate guides. That's A-S-S-O-C-I-A-T, as in associate. It just depends on how you want to say it. Associate or associate, spelled the same. Guides, G-U-I-D-E-S, and that's going to be my T.J. Morris Marketing Media Management Directory, and we're going to start over again. So in the beginning, I've got In the Beginning, and I grew one prior. It was very well known, very well respected, called American News Magazine. So So I'm going to sort of go there, except this time I'm going to be a little more personable, and I'm going to allow people to link who they are with their websites, being that we all seem to respond favorably to websites these days and what we're all creating together. Now, my associate guides will be something that will be like a large directory, and we're going to be working on that with the various links I have from people that I've known for years and what they're trying to create, and they're all small business people in America. So we're going to start with America, and then we'll branch out globally. So all you people out there in the world that can hear me globally, welcome. I do appreciate everything you're doing, and I do know you have your own families, and you have your things you talk to me and email me about all over the world, and I appreciate everything you're doing to help us out over here. And we're going to start sticking together a little more, and that's why I need to list. I've got so many people now in my life in what's called the ET Ascension Age that I'm going to have to start working on putting them in separate groups as to what they're interested in, and we call these similar interest groups in social networking. So that's why I have created the associateguides.com, and I've canceled out my Ning today in favor of associateguides.com. I've paid for the year so we can have that, so it won't go away. I'll try to keep that going. And this time I'm going to try to outlast my servers. Many of you know around the world I outgrew my server, and have many magazines, including American News Magazine, Social Paranormal Magazine, and A New News for the Body, Mind, Spirit Magazine. So I've pretty much separated my own personal interest into those three categories. Now, what's up in America is the debate for the president's position, which is the most powerful position in the world. We'd like to think so in the Americas, especially North America and the United States of America. Now, regarding our extraterrestrial Ascension Age 2012, I've teamed up with some people in the past, and I'm going to let them talk about their lives, and they're basically women. So let's get a couple of them on here. I'm going to let Cindy and Janet introduce themselves. Cindy, you were on first. Would you like to state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Hey, this is Cindy, and I'm on the top of the world.
You picked that up, did you? That was a slight error.
Anyway, about the debate, I don't even watch. You know, the last debate I watched was in 1980 when Ronald Reagan was it 1980? Ronald Reagan?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Was it 79, 80? I don't remember. And I just thought, oh, that poor guy, he's so dithering. I felt so sorry for him. He couldn't keep up and all of that.
Yeah,
I watched some Clinton stuff in 92, but you realize it's all a sham. It's the all the elections are totally fixed.
It is.
Fixed.
That's why it doesn't matter Obama or you know, it's all
it's
a dog and pony
it's
show.
It's totally fixed. I mean, I wish Ron Paul would get in because I voted for Ralph Nader when he was running, and the president is just the president of the corporation
figurehead
of the United States, and you know, so the banks give the candidates money, and then they bail out the banks, and then
they go into these
wars that you know are based on lies, based on false flags like 9/11, and. You know, I mean, when are people going to wake up to what's really happening? And I had an ET experience in a voting.
I got to let Janet on here.
Okay.
Let me you're a little new, so we try to get everybody on. Then we get into all the details. So I love you, and I appreciate you coming on,
that
and I'm really excited to have you. No,
Hi, I'm not that.
Guys.
Funny, har har.
Yeah, there's Janet. Okay, Janet. This is Janet Lesson, folks. Janet, you want to introduce yourself and give your little speech?
Hi. Well, I'm Janet Kara Lesson from Maui, Hawaii, and I certainly am inspired by your passion around what's going on here because it's going to take people really giving a damn to make something else happen, because this paradigm is not working for the 99% that are suffering, struggling, dying of unnecessary diseases, living in a world polluted by unnecessary toxins, you know, generated from fossil fuels, which is an unnecessary energy system when there are many other clean systems. So we've got our work ahead of us, and that's what the show is about. And I really appreciate you, TJ, and Cindy for showing up, the women showing up.
And, you got another one, too. I think it's your sister. You're on the air, 412. You want to tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
I'm Janice's sister, Louise, and I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
All right. Hey, Louise. This is Janet.
Hi, Louise.
And Cindy. Janet and Cindy both.
Oh.
Hi, Louise.
Go ahead, Janet.
Hi.
Oh, okay. It's just everybody's talking at once.
It's
so the gang's all here, and I guess what we need to know. Well, I think Cindy is here to talk about some of the stuff that's going on for her in her life around. And I'll let her speak for herself. I don't want to reveal what she might want to reveal.
I don't have it. I was just answering what TJ said about the debates, and I just think they're all a sham.
Well,
it's all lies. What did Obama promise? To promise to close down Gitmo, Guantanamo Bay,
right.
And instead they signed the National Defense Authorization Act, which, you know, makes it you can detain anyone indefinitely on suspicion, no lawyer, no trial, no due process. You know, not that they haven't done that stuff already, but now it's signed into law.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
one of the things
law,
that makes
me.
You being suspected of a terrorist is having 7 days of food in your house.
Okay, this law, I don't quite understand what you're talking about.
They signed it December 31st, 2011. The National Defense Authorization Act, which takes away due process. All they have to do is suspect someone of something. They don't have to have any charges. They don't have to have a trial.
Well, this to U.S. citizens? Or
this is for U.S. citizens.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Just as they have a suspicion, they can lock you up.
Yeah. They just...
Here we go.
Yeah. And I mean, this is like Russia or Nazi Germany or China, where, you know, the relatives didn't even know, and, you know, you don't know, you know, what you're being charged with. You don't have a lawyer. They could just, you know, keep you for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah,
they sign something.
As a kid, we would complain. We'd say, only those things happen in Russia, and
mm-hmm.
we have to be different than
mm-hmm.
Russia. But here
mm-hmm.
we are being the same as
mm-hmm.
communist Russia. You know, what we pointed our finger at, we have become. Or we can't be like
right.
Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And then they did another one in April where they could put kids in the military against their will and take
okay.
everybody's property. You know, so
I need to ask a question. When you say they, who do you
they
mean?
They signed another act, I think in April. I forget what it was called, but it's basically they
is
can
it
appropriate
is
anyone.
It
Congress?
Yeah.
Congress.
Yeah. Yeah, they can appropriate anybody's possessions. You know, just it's confiscated, like they do in wars. They'll just, you know, they'll
okay.
requisition.
When they do that, with any criminals, they can, especially
but
if they're.
But it's not criminal. They're just like nobody owns anything anymore. They
yeah, but I think it may have been a
mistake
that we thought
anybody.
We owned it
but
in
they,
the first
but,
place.
But you realize that we're all criminals now. They took away the Constitution. There's no Constitution anymore with them having this National
okay.
Defense Authorization Act.
That was what I was trying to figure out in the debate. Who really represents the Constitution and who is
neither.
Who doesn't?
Neither.
None of those characters.
Neither.
Okay,
it's
but
been more
I
than
have
either
a,
or, I believe.
Okay. See, what I have a hard time trying to figure out is, okay, well, Romney has the same beliefs as I do. you know, the beliefs in the Constitution and everything. And then people say he's lying and, you know, Obama's
lying.
All right,
let me say one thing about Romney. Kathy O'Brien, who was a Pentagon-level mind control person, she wrote two books. She grew up in a family from Michigan that the father was doing child pornography on her and her siblings. And the government came along and said, we want these kids, because what happens is that kids who are systematically abused from a very early age, they develop multiple personality disorder. Because if you were consciously aware that you were close to being murdered by your parents every day, you could not live. You could not sleep.
Okay. Well, how does that apply to Romney?
Okay. So let me get to that. Give me a minute.
Okay.
So she was in one of these. It'll take me a little while, but bear with me. It will be worth it. She was in, you know, she was abused as a child. The government got a hold, because the father was doing child pornography. The government got this through the mail. The father was afraid he was going to be sent to prison. The government came in and said, no, we want your kids for the government work. Okay? They bring them in and they further abuse a child who's been abused already. The CIA went after kids who, you know, were in cults, and there's a lot of abuse that goes on people who have been in cults, and it's early abuse of the children, a lot of sexual abuse. There's a lot of the reason there's so much sexual abuse in the Catholic Church is because it's part of a program. It isn't just the random act of horny priests. It's part of a program, because they want, it's the deliberate creation of multiple personality disorder, because then the controllers, and this is all, I don't know if this is going too far for you, Louise, but this is all part of reptilian mind control. And I'm sure that's probably going too far for you. But what it is that they use, like Sirhan, he grew up in Palestine. He saw people that he knew and his family being killed in front of him. He had multiple personality disorder. And he went to a psychiatrist, I think, at UCLA, who programmed him. I don't think that he was necessarily the person who pulled the trigger, but they certainly got him in there under those pretenses. There's many stories about what they did in Canada. There's this guy Jolly West. There's Aquino. I forget his first name. He was connected with the army, and they do this to children. They particularly do it to children whose families are military. Anyway, Kathy O'Brien.
Hi, this is Dr. Zizi. I'm a friend of Janet's, and I know Louise. Hi, Louise.
Hi, how you doing?
I truly appreciate your favoritism to Dr. Ron Paul. I'd like to just throw in a couple of things for Louise to answer her question. Number one, Barack Obama and Mitt Romney are simply two wings of the same bird. They are both owned by Goldman Sachs. They're number one providers, supporters, and secondly, J.P. Morgan. This has nothing to do with right and left and conservatives and liberals. This has to do with the bankers owning puppets. And in terms of Mormonism, Louise, I want to invite you to regard Mitt Romney as a Zoramite. Even in Mormonism, there are those who act inappropriately – the Zoramites considering themselves better than everyone else because they're wealthy, standing above their own people on self-imposed pedestals and treating others like slaves and second-class citizens. Those are the Zoramites in the Mormon tradition. You would know more about that than I. But
yeah, the Zoramites were people that made secret combinations and tried to control
that's right.
everything.
And right now,
are you Mormon?
Owned
yeah.
by the banks. That's all we're voting for, either the right hand or the left hand of J.P. Morgan and whatever the first one is I said. It's slipping my mind at the
Goldman
moment.
Goldman Sachs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Goldman Sachs. That's
can it. Can I finish about the mind control because I was leading to something? Anyway,
Dr. Zizi, thank you for your comment. She's going back.
And I don't know if you
okay,
finished, but
you.
I just want to be able to finish before the connection doesn't make sense.
Go ahead.
So Kathy O'Brien was at the home of George Romney, Mitt Romney's father, who was the governor of Michigan.
Okay.
And he said he wanted to get... I left out a few parts, but basically it's Jesuit mind control. This is why the Catholic Church is so strongly involved. And her father was sent to Boston to learn how to do the specific mind control. It is a very powerful mind control, which has been the Jesuits perfected over the centuries, the Inquisition, and also, what is part of this is in the concentration camps. I knew somebody who her parents were in a concentration camp, and they said they would take the daughters and take the mothers, hook them up, and they would shoot an electric current into the daughter, and the daughter could get rid of the current if she sent it to her mother and killed her mother. And then the daughter would turn like 10 shades of purple after she realized she had killed her mother. And the stuff that Joseph Mengele did with the twins, there are many stories. Arizona Wilder tells the stories of being having Joseph Mengele as the programmer. And what they do is they'll take a child, they'll use specific children who are bloodline, who are people who are more easily programmed, and they will kill another child in front of that child. And believe me, there are children who don't go missing.
Can I interject one thing? And you keep track of where you're at, but I just want to give a brief little aside to verify this.
Okay.
My husband, who's not here right now, he's a psychotherapist trained going back 40 years to the 60s. And one of his earlier classes at Esalen.
At what?
Esalen in California, and where
I don't know what that is.
It's a healing retreat center that's very progressive. And they anyway, he was studying with Dick Price, and there was a woman there. This was back in like 62, who said that she was required to kill her baby brother in a satanic ritual. And you know, so this has been known for a long time, but repressed. Go ahead, continue your thread.
Yeah, so anyway, Kathy O'Brien said that while she was at... Now, remember, they had planned to kill Kathy when she turned 30, when the programming starts to break down. So many of the people who are in this never live to tell their story or never deprogram enough to tell their story. But there are many survivors out there, like Arizona Wilder, Bryce Taylor, you know, a.k.a. Sue Ford. There's many of them. There were hearings before Congress under Clinton, but so they never expected Kathy to remember any of this. And in the hearings before Congress, during the Clinton administration, one of the women said that they were so arrogant that they thought that people would never remember. this is a crime worse than murder, because they are stealing people's souls, and they are using this to promote the reptilian agenda, which is, you know, to destroy humanity. While Kathy was at George Romney's house, am I still on?
You're still on. We're listening. We're going to try.
Yeah, we're listening.
While she was at George Romney, the governor, the father of Mitt Romney, she said that he very much wanted to get a hold of the mind control information, and this is on YouTube. She talks about it, that he very much wanted to get the mind control information to use on the Mormon Church, and all religions have a great deal of mind control. That's not to say that people in them are evil, but they use religion, and when there was mind control, there was generally sexual abuse of children, because they do things to children that are so unspeakable that, like the ritual abuse and maybe having a child murder another child. You know, it's hard to say if it's the child actually. What, excuse me?
You know, you're going on and on about this supposedly control. It controls people that have faith in religion. Is that what you're saying?
No,
there are good people.
What
I'm saying is that there are good people in religion who, if they would know about this, this would be an abomination to them.
Right.
Many people have left the Catholic Church because of the pedophilia. People have left the Catholic Church in droves.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not to say religion.
Can I interject something in? Well, and then we'll go back to this. I think, you know, Louise and I both have been raised Christian, and what we were raised is that there's a Satanist here, and he's taken over the earth, right? But we just come into that kind of construct.
Yeah, it's like
this is Satan, Louise, and Satan, to come to in your cosmology, can be in any religion, because the satanic mindset can be in the Catholic Church and come through priests that molest. So it's the energy of this mind control, molestation, killing a bird or babies, ritual murder. That could be anywhere. It could be in any religion. It could be in the Muslim. It could be in the Judaism. We're not attacking the Mormon Church. We're saying that this is a faction that's infiltrated into the Mormon Church.
Or into
the
society,
the Mormon Church was a very good one about
any
loving
religion,
people and helping people connect.
Any religion or society.
It got taken over by this energy, and that's what the Bible said. They said that Satan at the end times gets into everything, and that's the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can, I'm just getting into the different ways of symboling it, so you can understand it. So no, and he's not attacking your Mormon Church, so don't get defensive about that.
And do you remember the story about the temptation of Jesus, where Satan has him, I think he like fasted for a certain amount of time, and Satan says, he shows him all the kingdoms before him, and says, all this can be yours if you bow down and worship me, and Jesus says to Satan, get behind me, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Because earth is just a test to see who will, who, you know, the weeds grow in with the good crops. The weeds grow in together. And there's the story, you know, where they say, oh, the seeds got planted in with weeds, and they say, just let them grow, and when they're done, then we'll see what's the weeds and what's the good crops.
Okay.
So it's not attacking any religion. And not only have they infiltrated every religion, they have infiltrated education. You can't imagine what happens under the guise of education. It's all like communist. Instead of teaching kids stuff,
it's all like social, you know, go along with the crowd stuff. And when they do give them information, it's like just bombarding them with too many facts, so they don't have critical thinking ability. And this education movement was very big under Bush and Clinton, and it's both, you know, the Democratic Party is just a it's just a sleeve or a offshoot or a branch off the Republican Party. I mean, the Republican Party is the Nazi Party, the Democratic Party is the Communist Party.
So we have another party.
Yeah, okay, Nazis and
we have nowhere to run.
Yeah. It's all, you know, and it's like what David Icke says. You know, education is there to steal, not to destroy knowledge. Healthcare is there to destroy health. I mean, they appointed the guy from Monsanto as the head of the FDA, and they go after people who sell vitamins. To try to say that vitamins are
a
drug.
Yeah, I've always had
that
battle. Yeah,
you know,
they're not drugs, and they can't provide that.
And the vaccines, I mean, the vaccines are done to cause cancer patients, to cause, you know, patients for life. The vaccines have all sorts of things to, like, attach to the stem of the brain, the fluoride. They put the fluoride in the water in the concentration camps, and they did not care about their teeth because survival rate was about 6 months. They cared about dumbing them down and making them docile.
Well, I think a lot of people are docile nowadays.
Yeah, and the TV, and
I mean,
but, yeah.
It's like, yeah. And then we're here just trying to make our daily living, daily bread, and we have
a
tough
time.
Yeah, and
they keep the economy so messed up that people just, all they can think about is they're just totally in survival mode. And
Right. Everybody
saw what happened with 9/11, and there's still people who believe, you know, that it wasn't a controlled demolition. You know, it was built to withstand a plane crashing into it. It was planes are not that heavy. They're light.
No.
That's why they fly. They don't take down reinforced concrete and steel.
Well, what they said happened is because of the jet fuel, and they had had
there's not that much jet fuel, you know, in them.
It's bullshit. There was a truck went through the window at the World Trade Center in the 80s. They installed the demolition of explosives in case something that would happen. They were more afraid of something coming in from below and destabilizing the pillars down below. That's how you could collapse it, more than up above.
Right, right.
They were worried about an attack from below, so they put in the demolition explosives in the 80s so that if they had to, they could evacuate and have the World Trade Centers collapse in upon themselves and get everybody out safely so it wouldn't fall over because they were so extremely tall into, you know, the you know, it's like a giant tree falling into the city. So
that they did in Oklahoma City where they used incendiary bombs where it's like one bomb goes off, shoots out propellant, and then they have secondary bombs. So Oklahoma City was the test, was like the Garnica for, you know, World Trade Center.
The trial run.
Yeah.
Can we do this on a larger scale? Let's try it out here.
And then they set up Timothy McVeigh, who was under mind control, who had no clue what was happening to him. And then they would use that to go after the, like, Patriot movement people and anybody with any kind of guns. And, you know, because they want to take away people's guns so that they can round up people more easily.
Yeah, they can
defend themselves, yeah. I read that in there. Okay, let's go back to how this affected Romney and if he's a lizard.
They're in the same cabal.
Romney's a lizard, yeah.
They're sort of like they're
uses the mind control and that they were filthy rich, and then I can't even talk about it. It's too disgusting.
Can I say something about it?
Mm-hmm.
Can the host say something?
Do you want to talk?
Not
tell
really.
Show.
But But I would like to mention, you know, for everybody out there listening, that if you really go back and if you, Janet's not much on TV, but I normally am not myself. It stays off, I would say, 23 hours of the day, except for Survivor. But I do check on the news, and especially since it was about the, I wanted to see how this was going to play out because I'm very in tune as a prior investigator to look for signs. And I saw the signs coming. It's sort of like being a psychic, but you can also read signs. They say psychics just read signs well. We're all perceptive. We're all psychic. I saw what he was, I'm going with President Barack Obama was doing, okay? I saw how he was going to blow our, here's how I compare it to Louise and everybody listening. He was going to take a fall. So, and I didn't know why, I just knew, this is what I knew, that Barack Obama was going to throw the, it's easy to say now, I should have said it prior, but you just, I was going to stay out of politics, folks. There's many, many reasons. But he took a fall.
Well, what's and Barack going to throw?
What?
What's he going to throw?
He was going to throw something, then you didn't finish his sentence.
In the debate, he was going to throw the debate. In other words, he was going to let the other guy win. Historically, all of the guys that come in win, and the thing win the debates against whoever's in the incumbent, the president. But it's historically, there's only one Clinton won his out of everybody. But here's the deal: it's very easy to watch what's going on when you know both are puppets. Like Dr. Zizi said, when the corporations get too big to fail or too big, they're owned by larger conglomerates. And these people take their orders from headquarters. And even though we would like to think that they're doing all this for the people and they believe the votes count, they really don't. And we have the electoral votes. They plan it. All these larger people with the money plan who's going to be president. They pretty much decide which Janet, and there's people that can explain all that to you, how that's done at another location with a private club, et cetera. And then they usually get it down to the two parties, and then they go and they do what we call a dog and pony show in the media. And the media, I believe, in a lot of ways is part of this because it gives them something to go out and spin for everybody, because most of the guys that have are on the inside, they all get their passes. They're, when they're out in the war zones, they're embedded. They get to go out and prove what's being done. In other words, if they don't play the game, they don't get to get the ticket to the show, the front seats. But I truly believe that all these larger corporations, whatever, we've got to do something about. And this is going to be interesting because it's going to be the women that are going to unseat all of this, and let's try to make heads or tails of this, but we're going to have to each do it individually and then come together with groups and then in our regions and our states and then the federal and on up. And that's been something that's going to be they know about that could happen, but they also have the FEMA camps and places they can put the people that don't go along with the police state. But we've got to go into the international global economics in order to make all the countries get along and work together. So it's a very time-sensitive thing we're talking about here, but it's very obvious. And Cindy started this about enlightening people to all understand, and it's all over Facebook. Everybody's waking up to, wait a minute, we got to fix this because we can't let all the corporate, we need jobs, and the corporations are the ones that control it and the way we're set up as corporations. So it's not really the paperwork, it's the people holding the power and who controls the people. And it all started back from, I would say, back during World War II and how we all helped all these countries get set back up. And now we're going out to all these countries and getting the corporations to help all the other countries, just like we've been doing since World War II. But now it's fixing to fall. We're fixing to fall on our sword. We've got to figure out a way to fix it. Now I must turn it back over to the women. Okay, Cindy, Janet, Louise, yeah, Dr. Zizi.
Right,
now, y'all have fun with that. I just
okay,
had to say
all right.
That. Now,
okay,
go ahead.
This is Cindy. One thing I didn't get to mention was about 9/11. Nobody talked about Building 7, which they pulled. Nobody
mm-hmm.
talked about how Larry Silverstein was able to collect, who took out insurance just before 9/11 and was able to collect. Nobody talked about how it was not a plane that went into the Pentagon, but rather a missile, and it just happened to be where they were investigating, where they had general accounting office stuff, where they were investigating misappropriation of money. Also, Building 7 at World Trade Center had those records too. And, you know, I think the whole thing about Pennsylvania, I don't think that was true either. But, you know, if you really want to know, read David Icke's book, Alice in Wonderland and the World Trade Center. But, you know, once you really know how this thing works, you don't even have to.
They were getting rid of the evidence.
Yeah.
And the biggest crime scene
in this country, and they couldn't get rid of the evidence fast enough. And, you know, there were people who swore that they heard explosions, and they were threatened with losing their pensions. So the whole thing, I mean, the whole system, I think it's at a point where you would have to be deaf, dumb, and blind to not realize how in deep doo-doo we are.
Well, the economists are supposed to be telling us what's going on. Remember how they tried to pass it off on the accountants? All the guys that were trying to blow the whistle on these books ain't working out, folks.
Yeah,
and
that's why
they
sent the missile into the Pentagon and got rid of Building 7, because that's where there was these records.
So you're saying they had to cook the books in a big way. They couldn't cook the books anymore.
It was for multiple reasons. Let me just finish. It was for multiple reasons. It was to get us into this unending war on terror. It was to take away our rights and dismantle the Constitution. When I was in Argentina, they wanted to get rid of the Constitution there. They do the same things in different countries. They did this in Germany, having the Turks and the Greeks working as guest workers so they didn't have the same rights. Under Bush, they tried to have guest workers also. And it's a gradual, it's like taking away people, you know, not that we have so many rights to begin with, but it's just taking away, I mean, the National Defense Authorization Act takes away our rights as human beings. If you can be detained.
Well, starting back with Eisenhower, then, and Nixon got things really screwed up, and of course, we had several other players at the time, and if you'll
notice,
Dick Cheney
came along through
several.
I think Nixon was not as bad a guy as they.
No, it got worse.
Let me finish. I think that they got rid of him, but who stayed? Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger, who started out sexually torturing German soldiers, he was into the mind control stuff too. They would get German soldiers, and he would sex Kate, what's her name? Griggs talks about this, that Heinz Kissinger sexually tortured German soldiers. They're into this perverse, disgusting stuff. This is what these people are. People have to stop thinking about it as one religion and a different religion and one country and another country. It's all the same. We've been in the New World Order. When they had the Vietnam War going on in Korea was just to like do more mind control on American soldiers and just cause more trauma. And I was saying before, the reasons for 9/11 was to get us into this war on terror, to take away our rights, but also because the planet was waking up and the vibration was waking up. People were raising their vibrations, and they wanted to stop that. And one way that they do that is by causing these wars and causing these suffering. When they do the satanic ritual, it causes so much suffering, and they do it on places that are sacred sites that are on the ley lines, that are on the grid of, you know, sacred sites, like beautiful places like Bohemian Grove and, you know, these places, and they are murdering and torturing children. This is to lower the vibration of the planet, because once
explain
we ascend...
Explain Bohemian Grove to people, would you? Because we
Bohemian
have to have
Grove,
vibration.
Kathy O'Brien talks about that a lot, and And what's his name, that guy from Texas, Alex Jones, he got into there. And people say, well, how did he get in if he wasn't connected? And there was something with David Gergen talking about, you know, how did you get, you know. So he must have had some connections to get in. But what it is, it's in Northern California in the Redwoods. And I think all the men have been, Nixon was there, Bill Clinton was there, everybody has been there. I mean, this information is out there. I'm not a private investigator, and I found this stuff. I mean, you can find this stuff if you want to. And they do human sacrifice there. Kathy O'Brien talks about them doing human sacrifice there. I mean, these people are above, they see themselves as above the law and above humanity. They're monsters. I mean, there's you know, many stories about the British royal family doing human sacrifice, and Princess Diana. There's many stories about, you know, her actually being killed in the tunnel because she was in there a long time, and then they drove really slow past the pyramid. So, and then they say also that, you know, the killing of JFK, that was a ritual too. It was a public ritual, and the architecture, the way it's set up, was to harness that energy and to, Arizona Wilder talks about also that, I don't know if she said that Guy de Rothschild, who was like a, you know, a very adept black magician, would have captured Diana's soul and what they must have done to her unborn child also. I mean, these people who people look up to are actually monsters. They are, whether they're human and just possessed by these demons, by these reptilians, Draco, whatever, fallen angels, fallen Anunnaki. I don't know. I've heard many stories that, you know, in these bloodline families, the child is even tortured in the womb to get the child to develop multiple personality disorder.
Well, psychologically, you're saying the power, money and sex equals power, and the ruling class families somehow are all related to these ancient blood ritual rites to keep the power, and you think historically we've just not been allowed to know the real truth?
Well, that information is out there, and that's pretty like mainline how they show that all the U.S. presidents are related very closely. I've heard that Bill Clinton was an illegitimate Rothschild, and if you read Fritz Springmeier, he talks about the bloodline, like all the bloodlines, they're all satanic, and I was just reading in the Collins family, like the Collins is one of the 13 bloodlines, and an offshoot from them is, oh God, what was that guy's name? I can't think of the name, but I have the book. I'll go run and get it. But anyway, I was listening to this guy talking about how they take the children and put them in another family because they don't want the child to be loved. They're tortured, you know, and it's like a stereotype that we think of, you know, these very rich families where they're very cold to the children. But anyway, I was listening to YouTube of this guy, Collins, and I have the book here, so I'm just want to see, I forgot what his other name was.
So many people in our books are out there writing about all this? Because it'll make everybody a little paranoid about the bloodline.
Tons.
Because my name Thurmond goes back to Thurber, but I haven't traced it back further other than Norwegian and Norway. And Bolton, my mother's
Is that the Senator Thurman?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then, but it traces
well,
back.
Well, he's part of that too. I mean, the 13 family.
He's dead. He's dead.
Yeah, I know. But there was something. He was involved with this guy, this Collins guy. Here, I'll read off the 13 family. But then there's offshoots.
Just so you know, my we're trying to clean it up. My daughter's daughter is half black.
Uh-huh.
And so the Thurman blood, which was Thurber, at least my Thurman blood, was goes back to T-H-U-R-B-E-R from what I could see. It also relates to the Merovingians out of the blacks, the name black like in Harry Potter, out of St. Louis. They're apparently some kind of Saint, anyway, the black family. And it's I've seen the book on it. And my dad always said we were part French and then the Merovingians.
Mm-hmm.
So this all kind of tales.
Well, that's probably why you have the psychic ability, because you probably have. Now, this Collins family, they were involved, like the Salem witch trials. Those were their enemies, the ones that got killed in Salem, because those were their enemies. So these ones are related to the Rothschilds. Oh, Todd. Todd was
when
the other name.
Mary
Todd.
Remember, it's only
Mary,
one quarter
Mary Todd
per
Lincoln.
Person.
Huh?
And
what about
remember
Mary
when
Todd?
We say names, like Thompson on Janet and Louisa here,
yeah,
are on here. That's only their dad's name. Then their
right.
Mother.
Okay,
their
I know, but that they leave. They deliberately hide that. But anyway, this Collins family, this guy, John Todd or John Todd Collins, he came out. You know, had a few videos, and he was like falsely arrested in South Carolina, and I think it was Strum Thurman from South Carolina. They had this like state police which was set up to battle integration, and they just like totally lied about everything and threw him in jail, and he died a few years ago. But you know, one of the
we had battles ourselves for my grandkids over in North Carolina or South Carolina, both. And then on my mother's on my mother's side, the Lyndon Baines Johnson's daughter married on my mother's side, Todd Nugent.
Mm-hmm.
Is a
the
Nugent.
Singer. Uh-huh. And I wonder if the Todd comes from the Todd fan. You know, this is a very interesting book. I highly recommend. Yeah, this people, famous people that I'm related to also. But
well, they say
like
we're all related
some,
somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
We're
yeah.
all to blame.
No, but I'll give you the 13 families, but then there's offshoots of all of these, but it's Astor Bundy, like Ted Bundy.
Oh, there's
Collins.
13 original families, are you saying?
Yeah, but then
that
there's offshoots, so it's very hidden who's who. But it's Astor, Bunder, Collins, DuPont, Freeman, Kennedy. And they say the Kennedys are the ones they use for sacrifice. Lee, Onassis, Rockefeller, Rothschild, Russell, and the Russian connection, 13th Holy Merovingian, Van Dunn, Krupp, like the Guns of the Krupp, the Germans, Reynolds, and...
you're talking about K-R-U-P-P?
Yeah, like the German arms manufacturer.
So that's part of our, my aunt Shirley did a genealogy, and she said that it was Krupp, K-R-O-P, but Krupp, and they vary the name. So it was
mm-hmm.
that was the faction of our bloodline that came over on the Mayflower. But they're actually.
So we each got a piece of this
so
puzzle.
So we are the. The rebels of our own lineages, you know, breaking off and doing all this stuff.
But it depends. It depends. You have to remember that these people in positions of power, they are mind controlled. They are tortured from the time before they are born, generally.
So they actually don't have a big conscience, do they? We're considered
the bottom feeders. I don't know if I really think there's someone else driving the bus. I really do, because and the other thing I started to say about Clinton is that his mother died. Bill Clinton's mother died shortly before or after he was elected, and Barack Obama's mother died shortly before or after he was elected.
Oh, the ritual, huh?
And, you know, dead women don't speak. And
right.
They say that his mother was a CIA operative, that she picked out people for assassination in Indonesia, and that, you know, he was from a CIA family, And there was a lot of controversy about who was the father. Like they were saying it was the Kenyan guy, but the father was really this American, black American communist who bitterly hated America, wanted to...
Well, you realize a lot of the presidents don't... I mean, they can write their own death warrants. They have their own, you know, warrants to write out. Now, some of the CIA may not even know that the president is writing his own assassinations, and then vice versa. I've seen it where the CIA didn't know certain people were writing their own death warrants to be carried out by death squads. So even in these corporate agencies,
and how
they don't
by
know
making,
everything.
How are they writing?
Oh, yes,
out
it's all decompartmentalized. But what do you mean by making decisions? They're writing their death warrant, or how?
How
do you mean?
Some of these people are rogue, even in their own power struggle against
mm-hmm.
the families, because
right.
some of them are making their own decisions as to who will be assassinated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh,
in
yeah.
other words,
you know,
you and I may say we're controlled by our bloodline rich relatives, so we have to do what they say, or they'll rip all our money from our family or our
yeah,
grandchildren.
Yeah, and it's even like the reptilians fighting each other and using the humans as proxies. They're just like. The reptilians, the Dracos, they play the lazy man's game, and they do it not just on this planet, but I've heard on many other planets where they just get in and mind control the people.
Well, as long as we're talking about mind control, we're not talking about what's really happening on planet Earth, which is the oil consumption.
I don't know about that. Like, I think
that
battle is
on here. That's what I wouldn't say that, TJ.
I don't know about that. I think the battle is really spiritual. Like, the battle is not in this dimension, and the reptilians control humans from the lower fourth dimension. So it's kind of like the battle is happening in the non-physical, and then it just filters down to the 3D physical. And
yeah,
if
that
you,
could be, but we're still
and
got to
like,
control the people that are controlling what's the controlling the power. And I've seen them, just like we were talking about wars, the wars that were fought over oil, Bush's or the Arabians.
But do you realize that it's just to kill people and to spend money and to devastate the planet? And
well,
also the other
money,
thing
basically.
Is
who got,
if
who
people,
spent whose oil?
If people, you know, Jesus Christ's gospel, if people turn the other cheeks, they would be history in 1 minute. But what they do is they inspire people to hate each other. If people would stop going along with it, this would be over in a minute, and this could be heaven on earth. And
well, yeah, they do definitely keep them. And I think that's part of the Central Intelligence Agency's plot. In the analyzation of what's happening in the world order is to analyze who's fighting who, and the old story of you got to keep two opposing factors going
mm-hmm.
at all times, just like
mm-hmm.
we got
like
in politics.
Chaos and control and get smart, you know, the communists and the, you know, they, we don't have the communists and the capitalists anymore, so now it's like Christianity against Islam, and, you know, they make these boogeymans for us all the time, and you know, a lot of the boogeymans that they made, like Noriega, was their biggest ally, Saddam Hussein, their biggest ally and CIA asset.
Osama bin Laden was on
Libya.
The CIA payroll.
Mm-hmm.
They come over here and get college, and their rich families make deals with the governments, and the governments are all plotting against them to go into their countries, be friends, and then turn their people against them.
Right, and it's like, you know, foreign aid is like, you know, money from poor people in America to rich people in other countries, so they bribe, they prop up, you know, even like all the supposed royal families of Saudi Arabia, they were just set up by the British 100 years ago. And, you know, getting something I was going to say before about this not happening on the 3D physical, if you listen to Barbara Marciniak, she talks about the wars are sort of like piped in from a fourth dimension. That they're, you know, if you play
well,
into, like, they're people.
Let's talk about that for a while, because we've pretty much taken up the whole show on all this stuff. And I had to put politics
in. We've got 2 hours. We've got another whole hour to go.
I'll tell you some more of this family connected with the Collins. It's Thyssen.
Well, you sort of took up an hour.
Harriman, who funded Hitler. And Bush was part of that also, you know, the Bush family. Putnam, Russell, you know, the three big players in the Civil War were Abraham Lincoln was part of this family because he was really a spring.
Oh, the movie. Spielberg did a movie. You know, you can watch Spielberg's movies and see. I like your show. Lincoln's coming up. So which family was that?
That was part of the Spring family, but then he married a Todd, you know, Mary Todd, who they said she did seances in the White House. And then John Brown was part of this family, and also Ulysses S. Grant was part of this family, the Collins family.
And, you know, my great-uncle or whatever he was, Gideon Wells, was the Secretary of the Navy. So somehow my bloodline's running through.
Oh, and FDR, speaking of the Navy, because FDR is part of this family also, the Delanos. And the he says the Delanos are part of the black nobility.
Mm-hmm.
But, the FDR, you know, came out of the Navy. He was the Secretary of the Navy. And Skull and Bones is very, you know, it's like these main families, but then they'll intermarry with other main families. But the Harrimans, you know, Averill Harriman, and Harriman, Pamela Harriman was one of Bill Clinton's biggest supporters.
Well, you
so nothing is really
families.
What it seems.
And is there something we can go to for the 13 families? Is it on Google?
Well, I have this book, Fritz
Google.
Springmeier's Bloodlines of the Illuminati, and he has some other. I have two of his other books about the Illuminati program.
All right, give us his name again. I'm writing it down in case anybody emails me.
Fritz Fritz Springmeier, Springmeier. And they threw him in jail also. And I don't, you know, he would. No,
I just find this so strange.
Yeah.
Anybody puts out the information goes to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. You there?
Yeah, we're listening.
I thought I'd cut you guys
okay,
off.
Okay, well, that was very interesting. And did we lose Louise?
I think it was enough for her, I guess.
I think it's
overloaded. No, she's still there.
Hi, I'm
here. Are you overloaded? Do you understand what we're talking about?
Somewhat. You know, it's just that you're saying that everybody's related that gets all this power and we're all done for.
We're
all screwed.
When I first heard this, I thought, oh, that's a lie. They're just making it up. But then I heard it from too many different sources that it's true. Wait one second. Barbara Bush, the wife of George Herbert Walker Bush and mother of George W. Bush,
yes.
Is the daughter of Aleister Crowley.
She looks just like him.
Because her mother was one of these like wild debutantes and was carrying on with Aleister Crowley. And, you know, the Golden Dawn, you know, Hitler and the Nazis, and they were all in, you know, it didn't matter the country. It's because these bonds, you know, they cross country boundaries.
They cross pollinate,
yeah.
Yes.
And Hitler was an illegitimate Rothschild.
Really? Is that why
you didn't know that?
Yeah,
Hitler's grandmother was a servant in one of the Vienna Rothschilds households and left there pregnant. The father, Alois, received a stipend. And Hitler, you know, his father was a customs official, you know, very, you know, middle class, you know, working class, middle class. And yet Hitler went to arts. Hitler was an intelligence officer in World War One. And he went to art school in Vienna and would be with these, like, very, very rich families, you know, hobnobbing with them. So, you know, European society is not that, you know, it's much more like who you are and what your family is, and there's not so much social movement between. And also the town that Hitler grew up in, in Austria by the German border was used for, was totally annihilated while Hitler was chancellor, you know, during the Third Reich.
Oh,
and they used it for artillery practice because they didn't want anybody talking.
Here's somebody that'll talk to you about Hitler stuff. He must have been listening.
Who's
are you there? Are you there, Tom Bradley?
Yeah.
Hello. Oh, you're there.
Yeah,
hey,
man,
Tom.
Here now.
See you again.
Okay, let's get down to the root of all this. Okay, so what are we going to do about all this?
Well, we're going to hear some more from Tom Bradley, who's got the inside track. This is a very important guest that we have right here.
Okay.
Good.
Well,
everybody, attention.
Yeah, we got 5 women on here, Tom. What do you want to add to all this?
I just wanted to know what the subject is.
The power of the family elites. It was supposed to be E.T. Ascension Age 2012 and Beyond, sharing as associate guides, but it wound up being all the guides are women tonight. And so I put a little squiggly and put politics. And we've got somebody you haven't met yet. Cindy, this is Tom Bradley. He's from Virginia. And he was with the government, and he worked for President Bush and Cheney and Reagan, first Reagan. He helped get the guys out of Iran. It's a long story, but Mr. Bradley, we're fixing to get into how we could control the future possibly by doing some kind of part of communication and outreach to the people that the world isn't exactly what it seems when it comes to the powers that control the CIA, I guess, the families like the Rothschilds, the Bilderbergs, all the royalty. And I know you've been into some castles because I've read some of your books on stories. Can you tell them about the royal family and the control for power and the CIA? That's sort of where we're at right now. I know you could tell the story because you were in it.
Well, actually, England, the royal family is just a figurehead. Parliament controls the politics of England.
Well, who told you to make assassin hits between Europe and America? Was it the royal family, or was it the really Parliament and CIA?
They had to go through the powers to be, because I was an American and I did not assassinate or get involved in any other country's politics unless I was ordered to.
Well, we were talking about assassinations and who ordered them.
They was ordered mostly by the CIA, but they were ratified by the President of the United States. No assassination can take place unless the President of the United States gives the okay.
Well, only a few assassinations actually have the power of the paper to prove it, because you're the one that came up with the paper. You wouldn't just go assassinate because they told you to, right?
I need
you actually got the paper.
Get me out of jail. And I insisted on having a order of execution is what it was called. I don't know how many copies of the form that the president's kept. It was locked up in a secret drawer in the president's desk.
Well, you think Obama knows about that drawer in the president's desk, or do they swap the desk?
I'm sure he does. Each president is briefed on what he needs to know when he takes office.
Well, you think he really ordered the assassination of Osama bin Laden, or was that the CIA, or who? If that's real.
I'm sure the CIA had a hand in it, but like I said, the president had to okay it before it was done.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't really believe the story about Osama bin Laden being assassinated, because why? I don't know if he was already dead for many years or what the story was, but they didn't show us a body and they secretly buried him at sea, so I don't believe any of that one.
Yeah, that was a stage production.
Can we have a person ask a question?
Oh, somebody, y'all turn y'all's computers down if you're near a computer.
We have a question here from the audience. Can I have this person ask a question?
Go ahead.
Hold on, please. Go ahead.
Hi. Are you hearing me?
Yes. Is this Dr. Casey? You want to talk to Tom?
Yeah, it's Dr. Casey here. I've been in on this conversation so many times that, yes, indeed, the FDA puts poison in our food and feeds us plastic, and they're the Fraud and Disease Administration more than anything else. And, yes, indeed, health care is simply disease maintenance, and it keeps us subjugated with things like cancer and multiple sclerosis, and would just as soon see us creep along through the nursing home system and die just for the money. And yes, indeed, NDAA is designed to imprison us folks and perhaps put us in indefinite detention in concentration camps where people are reporting they're seeing the coffin liners and they're seeing the camps and whatnot. Okay, yes, yes, yes to all of this. My question is, why? Why would the powers that be, I just don't get it. What's the benefit to killing and diseasing and imprisoning?
Can I answer?
Population. Yeah.
Well, they have this thing called the Georgia Guidelines, and they don't, if humanity gets above a certain number, they feel that they live off of us, they live off of our emotions, they live off of our fear, Duncan O'Finian and Miranda Kelly said that the CERN collider collects human kundalini energy. They live off of us like vampires, and they, you know, even live off of our bodies, human sacrifice, and, you know, they're disgusting. But
if we change our we won't be compatible food for them, is that what you're saying?
I think that if we raise, let me just finish my thought because I don't even remember what I was saying. So they need us, but they are afraid that if our numbers get too high, they won't be able to control us anymore. And they also want to keep us, they want to keep killing us and keep us on wars and economic crisis and, you know, all this, you know, heartbreak. Because that lowers our vibration, because once we raise our vibration, they don't have control of us anymore. And one of the biggest things that they feed off of us is that our negative emotions of fear and despair, and, you know, they'll, like, cause relationships to go bad so they can feed off of that heartbreak energy.
Who are you talking about? Guidelines.
The Georgia Guidestones are the thing that says that they don't let the humanity get over a certain number. And
who is they?
And
who's they?
We don't know who the they is. Okay.
Okay.
Well, how can we even know?
Anyway, can I finish, please? Can I finish? So they... The elite, they is the elite, whoever is controlling the elite, which I believe is reptilian, you know, fallen angel, demon, archon, fallen Anunnaki, whatever. I think that Janet should speak about Enlil and the Anunnaki, who won... said that humanity was an illegal race, because I've heard this also, that it's not just the reptilians who want to dumb us down and keep us in terror and keep us in fear. You know, they don't want to kill us off. That they don't want to kill all of us off by no means.
Well, I've got Tom on the phone here. Let him talk about what he left. Crap.
Yeah, I wanted to get Tom's piece because he barely comes on and he's.
But Cindy was sort of into her thing and he left.
Okay.
Damn it.
Well, anyway, we'll have to. I'll do it another time, I guess. But what we need when Tom comes,
Tom is a whistleblower, Cindy.
Yeah, Cindy, let's let somebody else talk a little while, sweetie. You've been really monopolizing the mic.
Or something regarding the whistleblowing stuff. And so you were going to have him share something about the Nazis or something?
Well, it's too late now. He's spent 13 years in what we're talking about, not what we're dreaming about or reading in other people's books. We're talking firsthand information here, and he's gone, but that's okay. All right.
So you're aware of what he was going to say to a degree, maybe not 100%. What was he going to share with us? What piece of this puzzle?
I don't know because I don't know what's in his head. I just know he spent 13 years, and I was an investigator inside the government, and I know that a lot of things that we did firsthand needs to be out there, and it's very hard to get out there, but Cindy didn't know that. She's, in her defense, she's just helping us.
Yeah, it's not a blame shame thing. We're just doing the best we can to bring out the information, and we're all excited. And
we're all excited.
As a group, we're doing cool things.
We are.
I just wondered.
It's nobody's fault. It's just hard to get some firsthand information.
What he was going to share.
Whistleblowers, you know. I mean, he's got the proof and the pudding and the doing and for 13 years of doing this for the government and the royal and elite. And he doesn't ever come on hardly ever. And it's like real truth, you know.
You asked him a question about Hitler. What was that thread you were going down?
I don't know. I lost it. Go ahead.
I have a question. Okay. Why does Prince Harry get in trouble so much?
Lighten the air a little bit.
There's one that they say is the son of Pindar, who is, the highest one in Satanism, who I think the Pindar was... one of the Rothschilds, I think Gide Rothschild.
Pindar is an interdimensional being that comes through and has sex. And I actually met him, and I know it sounds weird, but he was calling me for a while. And my husband
was calling
part of it.
You?
He connected me because of Tantra.
Contacted
by the Illuminatis, by the bazillionaires, I've become aware of it in the middle of the conversations, and sometimes the dialogue goes on for a couple years, and I'm an investigator and I stay connected and I do what I can to not have them zoom, because I am like an anthropologist and I'm attempting to get inside their minds to understand. I think the question was asked by someone, I forget who now. Why is all this happening? And so I got contacted by this person, number one, who revealed he was Pindar, and he also revealed he was an immortal being that does not die. He basically was Robert Dudley, Elizabeth the First's lover, and father of her children. And Dudley he rumored to be the father of Francis Bacon, Sir Francis Bacon, and also there was another child that Dudley fathered, who I had remembered on my own completely, that was one of my past lives. I was doing a solid year of intense meditation, and after a year I started getting a download of all these visions of all my past lives. It was like in one night, and then when I woke up the next day, I had to go to work and act normal, but I was in an altered state of consciousness, and I was kind of bridging this dimension to other dimensions, and I had to go, and I confided to my best friend, Bud, and I said, I don't know what's wrong with me, but something happened with this meditation. What was revealed to me was that one of my incarnations is that I was the illegitimate daughter of Queen Elizabeth I, and my father was Robert Dudley. And fast forward this life, this incarnation, you know, about 50 years, 45 to 50, I forget what year it was exactly, I have some notes on it, and this man starts talking to me about my incarnation, knowing things that's only in my mind, about what I recovered about my incarnation through my meditation. And so he said to me he was the descendant of Dudley, and he was showing pictures of not himself but his castles and stuff like that, and it was an interesting story, and I was going, well, what's this? This is the internet, you know, take it with a grain of salt. Who are these people? But finally, after about 2 years of having discussion, he said, I'm not Dudley's ancestor, descendant. I'm Dudley himself, and we don't die. We're part of the Illuminati. And so then I let him call me, and when he called me, once again, it was like I dropped 100 hits of acid. Just on the phone, I went into this altered state of consciousness, and he revealed to me on the phone that he was Pindar. And then there were some things that happened that were very mystical, magical, and somewhat frightening, because on the property, this is very convoluted, it's hard to describe, I'm going to write this, but while this session was going on where I'm talking to Dudley, who is Robert Dudley, one of the Montauk boys, there's a British program of the Montauk boys, mind control, and this fellow was living here on property, dating one of my roommates. And he was here against our will, but he was so strong that it was really hard to get him off property because he kept sneaking in, and she was madly in love with him and seduced by him, and she kept letting him in, but she kept saying, help me, I shouldn't be involved with this guy because there's something, you know, satanic about him. So he was on property, and I'm up in my bedroom on the top level of the house, and this guy runs all the way from the lower part of the property all the way up past everybody. They didn't even see him. And he runs to my door, and he starts pounding on my door, my bedroom door, and I had closed it because I'm having a private conversation with Pindar. And this thing that was going on was very, it was probably what goes on in the chambers when they do the sexual rituals. And I'm experiencing this, and I'm going, well, I've got to see this through, because I'm part anthropologist, right? I'm part therapist, and I'm detective. And so I was like, well, I can't get afraid and stop this. I have to see this through. But this fellow came, and he's knocking on the door, and he's pounding on the door, and he's yelling, what are you doing in there? What are you doing in there? And I was trying to ignore him, and he would not stop. And so I said to Pindar, excuse me, I've got to stop this. Before that interruption, Pindar had me talking the ancient language, and he was saying, you know, you're an Anunnaki. I want you to wake up. Here's the ancient language. So he was talking to me in probably what is Nibiru and Anunnaki language. And it reminds me of Klingon. It really does. If you listen to Star Trek, it's kind of guttural. And so I started, he says, talk it. And I started speaking it, and I'm going, I'm making this up. This isn't really good. No, you're actually speaking it. So I was trying to access that other past life of who I was. And, you know, then we had the interruption, and then I stopped it. And then tried to have a conversation later with Pindar and my husband. But they had a negative reaction, and so they hung up on each other. And then I haven't heard from this fellow since then. So, and when I left, just to the final thing, like within about 4 to 6 months, another Illuminati person was contacting me, and I said to my husband, oh, they know who we are, and they keep contacting us. And then this was a female, but it was the same energy. You can tell. Even, I don't know, if you're sensitive, you can tell this is the same energy. Whoever this is, that's the same energy of what's going on. All right, let somebody else talk for a while. Thank you for listening. Next.
Tom?
Oh, is he back?
Hello?
Well, I'd like to go back to what the young lady was saying earlier. In 1990, the Army ordered 500,000 body bags. They was anticipating going to war with Iraq. The body bags for soldiers lost in combat. That's where they overestimated their losses. But the body bags was delivered to North Carolina. then the rumors got out that the American government was going to send in troops and take out certain people, and that's what the body bags were for, was to dispose of the bodies after soldiers killed them. It was total bull. They were not for the civilians. They was for the soldiers. I was involved in that. Of course, the military and the U.S. government tried to explain on various talk shows in various ways that it was a oversight that they had ordered 500 or 50,000 body bags. And somebody got the number crossed and added too many zeros. That's the way with your other conspiracies that you hear. Now, there are some, but not near as many as the American people would like to think.
Well, Tom, can you share? Yeah, can you share, since your time in grade was 80 to 93, that's 13 years of experience working with the royalty. You've danced with the Queen of England. You've worked and been called to the side of President Reagan when he was shot. You've worked with Secret Service. You've talked before Congress. What did you talk before Congress about? Did they listen?
I went in front of Congress several times for several different reasons. I was requested my presence in Congress a couple of times. I had to testify at the Means, what is that?
Ways
committee.
And Means Committee.
Yeah, Ways and Means Committee.
During Reagan's administration. What for?
Well, it was closed doors, and it has to stay that way.
Oh, well, you can't tell us if it was closed doors. All right, well, let's go back to, there's Cindy that you haven't met yet. She's on the show tonight, and she's a history buff. That's all I can say is she reads a lot of books about, I don't know what the genre is, New Age, it's paranormal. I don't even know how, what kind of, I'm very impressed with her knowledge, but it's a borderline from past information that's been written by others based on past information. So it's information that gets passed down, you know, by the winners, as she told us. It's the winners that write the history, which you hear a lot on movies today. Can you go back and tell us how you understood the world working, at least back 25 or 30 years ago, back in 1985 when we came out with Back to the Future, because tomorrow night's going to be more about Back to the Future 1985 and talking about time travel. And tonight was more sharing associate guides and politics. But we didn't go on the light side, folks, of associate guides. But we're getting somewhere. Secrets of the extraterrestrial belief systems, I think. But can you share any light on how the world's changed? Well, you haven't been involved in the last 10 years, so you can't really talk about today's ultra-modern times because they're changing too fast due to computers. But what do you know that you could share with us for the historical purposes? And Cindy can take notes.
Well, history's a whole lot like this little story I'm fixing to tell you. I was in the military, and we went out on maneuvers. All the soldiers left their wives and stuff and back in the post. Well, somebody came out and said that there was a woman killed in the housing area. By the time it got to my soldiers, they had been five killed. Once it was investigated, she was cheating on her husband and her boyfriend killed her. But the point is, by the time it got to us, there was a serial killer loose in the housing area, and soldiers were wanting to go home. You know, hell with the pill problem, let's go home. So I set them down in a circle, and I said, okay, I'm going to tell this guy something that he's going to pass it on around. And I whispered it to him, and he relayed it. By the time it got back around, it had been blown completely out of proportion. It had nothing to do with what I said originally. It was to prove to the soldiers that rumors are exactly that, rumors.
Okay, could you share with our audience about propaganda and how you have actually been told what's propaganda, disinformation to spread from the military to their families or to the people? You understand what I'm talking about, propaganda?
Oh, yes.
Give us a little story on that so people can understand. It's done from the inside as well.
Well, when we was going to Grenada, we didn't want the civilian population to know why we was going to Grenada or how we found out about it, which was one of the students used a cell phone and called his parents. And that's how we found out that they was being held captive. And we went in to rescue the students.
So this was National Security Agency listening in on a cell phone student.
The story was that we told our families it was just a regular military operation. Had nothing to do with the CIA or secrets or anything like that. It was up front. It was strictly a rescue mission. But we told our families that we were going out on maneuvers and would be gone, you know, a couple of weeks. In reality, we didn't know how long we'd be gone or if we would even come back because the bullets are flying. You do not know. We did that because of the news would get a hold of it, and the people holding the students could turn on the radio and find out when we was coming. So, once we landed in Grenada and took over the airport and tower and all that, then the truth was told. And then they come back and told another one, so no one would actually know what went on in Grenada. We signed a 50-year agreement to not reveal what actually happened there. The students were convinced that they should keep their mouths shut. And their story was that they was kept in a room with no windows and they didn't actually know what had happened or what the military did. Of course, the Army probably wouldn't like me telling this, but the 82nd Airborne, I was in a different unit. I was a regular ground pounder at that time, airborne qualified, but I wasn't in the 82nd. Excuse me. the we went in first, and we cleared the runway, and we cleared the tower, and we got everything under control. As a matter of fact, we had the students, and we were feeding them and the whole nine yards. And the 82nd Airborne flew in and landed the planes, taxied up to the tower, and got off the plane with their weapons slung over their shoulder. They never fired a shot or got a shot at them. But the 82nd enlistment was down at the
time. Enlistment was down.
So, therefore, the Army put it that the 82nd is the ones that flew in, paratrooped out, cleared it all up, and we was the sweep-up when it was right to the opposite. But they did that to make the 82nd look good, and they would their enlistment would increase. You asked me why I went to Congress. Well, that right there was one of them. At that time, women were not allowed in combat zones. And an EIB is or CIB is called a combat infantry badge. And the only way you can get that combat infantry badge is to go to combat. Get shot at. That badge, I have one. As a matter of fact, I was issued it three times. And I guess that's one of the proudest medals that I wear. I was also awarded the Silver Star and the Bronze Star, but that's another story. I went to Congress because they were four women that never left Fort Bragg, and they were awarded the CIB. Because they was clerks in the 82nd Airborne. And like I said, they never went to combat. They never left Fort Bragg. And I went to Congress to have them orders revoked. Because that medal meant more to me than, and they just give it to someone. During Desert Storm, there were several officers that was given the Medal of Honor that had never seen combat. But the enlisted was getting more Medal of Honors than the officer corps, and the officers throwed a fit. So they was disawarding it to just about anybody. I went to Congress over that, testified in front of Congress, and had all the orders revoked. I didn't care about the numbers for the officers. If they'd have wanted the Medal of Honor, they should have got out there with me and got shot at. Giving it to them, I just degraded the medal.
Okay, and I got another one for you, because you've been for Congress for other things you can't talk about, folks, but I'm trying to get as much history recorded here as I can, as fast as I can. Real quick, can you tell me about the black helicopters that make no sound? And because Cindy's been buzzed, I've been buzzed. I don't know if Janet has or Louise has, but it's not a common occurrence unless you're sharing information or delving in things they may be interested in. Because of our cell phones and computers and things that we are interested in, we may be on certain lists. Can you tell us about the black helicopters and the list we go on for national security?
Like I said, they monitor your computers and your cell phones and your landlines, and there are keywords that will trigger the computer, and then they'll watch you for a while to make sure that you're not an enemy of the state. And if you prove to be just talking, they'll leave you alone. If you prove to be a hazard to the American way, they will deal with you one way or the other.
Well, can you tell me about when they came to see you on a truck and talk to you about the national security, homeland security, and the fact that you wrote a book or wrote the original
manual that they were using for the new Homeland Security and for cyberspace security, that kind of stuff? Are you allowed to share?
I've been approached several times since I got out of the military, especially when I first got out of the military, by, for a better word, the men in black. I don't necessarily mean that them was like the movie Men in Black.
Men in
they
Black,
are,
but the guys that are civilians. That
they
work for the
are, they police the ex-military, ex-CIA, which there are very few ex-CIA. There's an old saying, once in the CIA, the only way out
always
is to die. I found another way to do it, and I can't discuss that. But anyhow, I'm still living, and they do everything they can to keep me that way.
It's understood that if anything happens to you, that all the paperwork in the other countries held by attorneys, they'd have to kill all the attorneys in order to keep it hid. So apparently a major whistleblowing transaction will happen in the world based on the history. The history will probably change. Is that true?
History is always written by, I've said this before, World War II history. It's a wonderful time to read about. It wasn't a wonderful time to live through. There have been many, many books written about World War II. But it depends on who wrote it. If Americans wrote it, they write it a certain way. If Russians write it, it's written altogether different. If Poland wrote it, it's altogether different. If you really want to get into history, then you read the American World War II history, and then you go and get a Russian World War II history book and read it and compare the two. And, Stalin controlled Russia. It was a different world over there, and they wrote it to suit them, where Americans wrote to suit themselves. They didn't put in certain things in the history books because they didn't want to really have the public to know.
Can you talk about when you were American espionage, working with Russian espionage and China espionage and going to an embassy, and we all thought we were at war with the Russians. I grew up, and everybody else probably that's my age and the baby boomer, we all thought you guys were representing our country. And at the same time, I mean, I know the higher levels folks, the extraterrestrials and all that, and he can get into that level too, but that's not one of his famous levels to get him to go to. But right now, let's climb up the ladder a little bit. Can you at least tell me on the... Yeah.
Back in the 80s, there was a warlord, for a better word, a Chinese warlord that wanted war to take place between the United States and Russia so they would annihilate each other, and China would be the top power. So therefore, he was having things to happen, blaming the United States when it happened to Russia and blaming Russia when it happened to the United States, so we would get mad at each other and bullets would start flying. The Cold War was always a shaky time. The wrong word, the wrong move could start a war. The Bradley fighting vehicle is an old vehicle nowadays. But when it first came out, Russia made an agreement with the United States that that tank would not get no closer to the east-west German border than 1 mile. I knew a lieutenant that broke that agreement by driving 150 yards, or meters rather, into East Germany in one of those Bradleys, which was an international incident. Thank goodness it didn't escalate to a war, but it sure could have. They had a trial for the lieutenant. Russia attended, and he was just stupid, and the Russians realized it, and everything was smoothed out. But the point is, between countries, the Chinese was trying to cause war between the two countries. There was information in the Chinese consulate in Munich, Germany. And I was sent to get that information, a copy of it, actually. Couldn't take the information out because then the Chinese would realize we knew. When I got there, a Russian agent that I had run across several times, I nicknamed him Scarface because when we first met, he was shooting at me. And I shot back and hit a brick close to his face, and a piece of the brick flew off and cut him from his hairline across his right eye and down his cheek. And he carried a scar, and as far as I know, if he's still alive, he still has the scar. So I called him Scarface. And we ran across each other time to time. He beat me up one time and threw me off a moving train, and if it hadn't been for a snowbank, it'd have killed me.
So you were a real James Bond.
Well, I wouldn't call me James Bond. I was real. A lot of things happened to me by accident. A lot of things happened to me because it was just meant to happen. Just like getting thrown off the train, it was just meant to happen.
I've got several women here. I know this is out of the ordinary, but also Hugh Trawson's on now. Everybody's mics are on, but do you mind real quick, because we're just about out of time at the end of the show, but I'd like to at least offer each one of them a chance to ask you a question. We've only got 13 minutes. So we could probably go over. I've got Cindy, Janet, her sister came back, Louise, and Hugh Trawson, your old friend from Virginia. So one, two,
well,
three, four people.
I'll try to answer the questions, but let me complete this. It won't take but a second.
Okay.
We ran across each other at the Chinese embassy, and we joined forces because it was involving both countries. Proof that it was the Chinese doing it. And so we went together and we broke into the embassy and we got our information. He got his copy, I got my copy by photograph. And we helped each other out of the embassy without getting caught. He went his way and I went mine. There have been several occasions that me and Hans worked together on a joint affair that our governments didn't even know that we was working together. But it was just prudent at the moment to join forces. That Chinese break-in was just one of them. Now for your questions.
Okay, Janet, Cindy, let me let Hugh and Louise ask, because they're sort of, they don't get as much time as you ladies do, and I know y'all will probably come back, you know, anyway. But Louise, have you got a question? Because you don't spend as much time as Cindy and Janet with me.
Well, I just think it's just interesting espionage. I mean, we all have our point of view on it by what we see on TV. But I just, like he says, he works with other countries, different people, and they work together. So do you think there's, you know, do those things happen? Like we get to a point where we talk to each other better and communicate better somehow in this world, that there can be peace?
There'll never be peace in the world. If you want to go by the Bible or you want to go by history, either one will prove it. It says there will always be wars and rumors of wars
okay.
in the Bible. And
uh-huh.
history has proven that. Here, just a few minutes ago, someone mentioned about annihilating soldiers and stuff to bring the population down. That's about a half truth. I mean, the government don't go into war just to annihilate their own people. But our economy was built on war. The War of Independence was the first thing, and it boosted the economy so well that if you'll know, we are in some sort of conflict every 10 years. And as long as it lasts, our economy does well. When the war is over or the conflict is over, our economy starts to drop because we're not making weapons, ammunition, explosives, and all that good stuff. So the people that were working there and making good money and putting it onto the economy no longer have a job. So they have to go back to war so these people have a job and they can feed the economy.
Hugh, do you have a question for Tom?
Yeah, first I want to say, hi, Tom, you're sounding terrific. Your voice is a lot stronger. You must be finding a good source of wheat germ or something. Hope you're feeling good. I wanted to throw out a couple of names.
I am feeling a whole lot better tonight.
Yeah, I wanted to throw out a couple of names to see if you interacted with them during your active duty years. Did you know Ray McGovern? And also I did speak personally with Harry Rositsky, who authored a book, The KGB, The Eyes of Russia. He was a high-level CIA operative. I spoke with him after reading his book back in the early 80s. And one other person, Dave Montgomery. He's currently the bureau chief for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram in Austin, Texas. He interviewed me after the Wall Street Journal article that I exposed a former federal government bureaucrat that indirectly resulted in the resignation of Jim Wright from Speaker of the House. And I believe Dave Montgomery is the only bureau chief that was a bureau chief in Washington, D.C., and also in Moscow. Did you ever have any interaction or come across him?
I've met two or three of the names you just met, but as far as knowing them personally, no, I'd meet them at a government function, like a dinner to raise funds and stuff like that, where I was invited, whether I wanted to be there or not. To tell you the truth, President Reagan was good at inviting me to dinners that I would have rather not went. But I was in the Army, and I swore an oath to obey the Commander-in-Chief. So when he asked for me to fly to Washington for a dinner, I flew to Washington for a dinner.
You knew Tip O'Neill, didn't you? Or is that the one in 83? I know you know the one in 83 that he's talking about. And then I need to let Cindy and Janet ask you a question.
I just want to interject quickly, too, that book, The KGB, The Eyes of Russia. They mention in the book that during the Second World War, trading companies all over the world were headed by CIA operatives, and they loved it. They were making tons of money on all kinds of trades and things. When the war shut down and they started retiring and they got their stipend from the government, they were pretty PO'd.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. A lot of things happened during World War II. You got to remember that actually we were allies with Russia during World War II.
Right.
You know, our greatest enemy was the Third Reich. And the whole world was, you know, either on our side or Germany, you know, Poland, the Chinese, the Japanese, they were with Russia. I mean, Germany. So we were allies during that time. So Russia kind of got their foothold in on the American way. And then when war was over and the wall went up and the Iron Curtain, and they found themselves kind of taking a diet that they didn't want to take.
Now let me let Cindy ask you a question. She's new to our group in the last week. Cindy, can you think of anything you may want to ask Tom? He was in from 80 to 93.
What do you really think was happening in Grenada?
What do I think? Well, I was there. And it was all the hype that you may have heard is just that, hype. It was a bunch of students, several, bunches like the greats. But there were several students that was being held captive. And we went in and we got them out. It was more or less a terrorist act, even though a government supported it and financed it.
Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off. I thought you were done.
It wasn't any hidden agendas. We went in to free the hostages, and we came out. We didn't try to take over the country. We didn't want to blame the country.
What did you think of the invasion of Panama? What do you think was really going on there?
Panama, I was there. I had a soldier shot right in front of me by a sniper. I've seen a lot of combat there.
Because I saw the documentary where they went for the most densely populated poor areas and just bulldozed people. And what I've heard is that, you know, Noriega was one of Bush's drug running buddies, and they went after him. I mean, what do you think about all the drug running that the CIA does?
He was involved with that.
Well, they sent me to Panama to curb the flow of drugs into the United States. And me and my unit was doing such a good job, they pulled us out. They wanted it to be allowed into the United States, but they didn't want as much had been coming in. And I didn't agree with that policy, but that was just the policy.
Why do they want to drug the people? I don't understand why.
Because it controls them? Because, you know, it controls. It's
no,
the same way that
no.
The British brought in opium into China, and it's the same families like the Russells, because it controls people, and it's a way of criminalizing all people.
No, I disagree.
But can I tell you something? I disagree with
economy.
I appreciate you talking, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but I really disagree with many of the things that you said, because as far as war helping an economy, you know, it hurts an economy, because if they put that money into research and development, you know, into building things, that you get, once a bomb goes off, that's it.
You know, it doesn't produce anything more. And the other thing about the coffins, I mean, if they want to kill people, they can just dig a hole and stick them in. They don't need coffins or body bags. Let me just finish the thought. I think that some of this stuff, some might be true, and some of it might be fear-mongering to get people in this, like, state of fear, you know. So I try not to go into those stories too much.
Well, I'd rather go with somebody that was there than somebody writing a story based on.
But you don't know stories. If you don't know if somebody's A, knows what really happened, or B, is letting us know what they saw.
Well, let me put it this way. I've seen his intelligence file, and I've seen where he's been. I don't know how much more I could tell you that I trust what was literally in his file. I was in Office and Personnel Management in Personnel and Information Security. And what we did on record versus what people think, that's a lot of control. But I understand and I appreciate what you're saying. However, it's always best to go to someone that physically had the experience. And I do appreciate, you know, everything you share, Cindy. I'm not dissing you. I'm just saying that I know you read a lot of books and you're a historian. And it's always best to try to, as you know, because it's always best to try to get people that were there, just like a good journalist.
Of course, but
I have to agree with you, young lady. As far as war not being a good economy booster, but it still remains to be.
I mean,
a
it
fact.
Just goes to show you that if they decide they manipulate the economy, so they could manipulate it to give us good things, to give us good food, to give us good education, good roads. It doesn't have to be that it's war.
No, and
those good things produce more.
The problem is there's no money if there's no war. The United States makes money off of war.
Because it's the military, right. What Eisenhower said, beware of the military-industrial complex because they completely have a stranglehold over this country.
But he didn't
it doesn't
give us
have
a solution
to be that way.
To save the world and
right.
feed
it doesn't
the world.
Have
the,
to be that
the
way.
Point
and when
is,
you consider, like, when Vietnam was going on, Henry Kissinger was going back and forth to keep it going. They came to the peace table so many times.
Because we needed the economy boost.
And because the gold,
that's
and they
don't
like
the
gold.
Idea.
We don't like it. We're just saying what is.
But that's a lie. Because the real reason was because of all the drugs that were coming back in the bodies of the soldiers, because the goal was to get this America addicted to drugs. They wanted
it
in
their bodies. They had it coming in crates. I mean, we control the boundaries. Do you understand how import and export works? If the government controls where it comes into the ports, they don't have to put it in bodies. That's too much trouble. We bring them over in big old ships. We bring them in.
Yeah,
in
they do
containers.
It that way also, but they also brought it back in the bodies of the soldiers.
From where in bodies of soldiers?
They put it in cavities in the bodies.
That's an awful lot of trouble. Think about it. It's an awful lot of manpower. When we can bring in opium, anything you can possibly imagine, Cindy. We owned our own airlines. You know, think about Central. Surely you've seen the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I guess a different point of view. Being working around that stuff and seeing it and knowing it and listening it and then talking to stories and being an investigator. There's some stories out there that are so far fetched. You just have to laugh at them. And I'm sorry, that's one of them. But I'd have to know your source for that
what
story.
What's so fetched?
You know,
putting the dress
I understand
back
what
in the
you're
body.
Saying.
But
I understand the point.
These two, I don't know.
I'm afraid her source is a lot of TV.
No, I don't hardly watch TV.
Yeah.
The point is, the U.S. government has a fleet of aircraft. fleets of ships. And it's so easy for the U.S. government to bring drugs in, but they don't want to be caught with their hand in the cookie jar.
Mm-hmm.
So later they got a middleman. And middlemen use various ways to get through customs. Because if they get caught, it's the same way with a shooter. If you get in a foreign country and get caught trying to complete your job and kill someone, the United States will deny even knowing you.
Mm-hmm.
And you spend the rest of your life in the foreign prison. And it's the same way with the drug flow. The United States government has to have a deniability clause,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they don't get, you know, paint and dirt on their hands. They want somebody else to do the dirty work, but they want the benefits from it.
Were you talking about people that you assassinated? Were you telling countries where you assassinated people?
Well, and of course I didn't tell them. They put me in prison.
Mm-hmm. But what years was this going on?
Well, as long as I was active in the CIA.
So that was
80 to 93.
You already said it. 80 to 93.
13 years. Mm-hmm. So that's under
Reagan, Bush. I was active duty Army from that time. And I was also active duty CIA during that time and longer. As far as me giving you dates, times, and countries, that'll never happen.
You can go back and study stuff, but it's usually Dan Rather. Who was the other guys, Tom, that gave the dog and pony show to the news? Dan Rather, who else? I forget. Walter Cronkite did some of them.
That was an interesting.
And in bad health, and I don't want to spend the rest of my days in some
mm-hmm.
prison.
I understand, but I appreciate what you shared about the Chinese trying to get the Russians and Americans fighting. I remember when that JAL plane went into Russian airspace. Was that something that you think was manipulated? Remember
well,
when that JAL, was it a JAL
mm-hmm.
plane, went into Russian
yes.
airspace and they had something on it? What year was that again?
I'm not sure. I also
86,
know about
maybe 85, 86, was it? Remember when that
you
plane?
Remember when that?
Or was it Korean Air? It was Korean. Korean Airlines.
Yeah, a student flew a small plane.
No, this was a passenger,
well,
you
know,
Korean.
Around the same time, a student flew a small plane and landed it the square in
of Moscow. Uh-huh, I think I sort of remember that.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things that happened that independents do that the United States don't have a thing to do with.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
they
regret
that
it happened because they still have to have a working relationship with the Communist Party, whether they want to or not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the world's half communist and half not. So therefore, they still have to work with them.
Well,
I don't want to sound ugly, young lady, but some of your information is way off base, and I understand that.
Which one?
You want to believe it, so therefore it's true.
Which one about the drugs and the?
A lot of your beliefs did happen.
Which one about the drugs and the servicemen?
Well, that may have, I know that happened some, but it wasn't like the U.S. government took them to the morgue and stuffed them full of drugs.
It was the middlemen doing it. I
got
you on
that. It was the middlemen doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So they could get drugs into the United States, and the United States would have deniability.
But what do you think that? What do you think that?
Quiet over here for them.
What do you think
that's
the goal
I
was?
I have to know the source, because that's an awful lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a believable story.
Yeah, what do you think the reason, Tom, was for the United States bringing the drugs into the country?
To boost the economy.
To boost the economy. Do you think that they used that money in, like, the secret space program and that sort of thing, or just to fund all their activities because they didn't get enough from Congress?
Black ops can make their own money, but Tom, tell her about the black money, the black ops money, just some of the stuff we know. Now, neither one of us know everything, Cindy, just like you don't. But we
yeah, they probably run
we
prostitution and there, all sorts
we,
of stuff.
We confiscated in Florida some money one time. I was on the drug force, and it was two pallets of $100 bills.
Two pallets, that's huge, Cindy, you know, because it's semi-truck. Right?
Yeah, there was $1 million or millions, more than
millions
one.
Of dollars.
And the state of Florida got one-third of that money. And the United States federal government got the rest of it. Now, it never went down on the books.
No.
It was there to finance black ops. It was there to finance scourgings into Vietnam looking for MIAs. It was used for various other reasons that Congress couldn't fund because our regulations, our federal regulations, prohibited.
And where did this money come from? Where did this money come? Who did this truck of money belong to?
The drug runners.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a drug runner and he starts getting greedy, the government wants somebody to step in and take him down. If he shares his wealth, then he gets to operate.
Mm-hmm.
So this
is a drug runner who got
not,
greedy.
Yeah, he got greedy, and we were sent in to stop him. A 30-06 bullet between the eyes stopped him, and we confiscated all of his vehicles and money and houses and all that good stuff. They sold the houses and the cars. And,
do you think the CIA works with the mafia? You know, like
yeah.
I mean, can you tell any stories about that?
The CIA, you got to understand, the CIA stands for Central Intelligence Agency, okay? It's an intelligence agency. It is not a law enforcement agency.
It stands
so
for Culinary Institute of America, Tom.
They deal with criminals every day. That's where they get a lot of their information. They'll keep a drug dealer out of jail because he's got a source to get information. They'll keep a weapons runner out of prison, keep him alive because they're getting information from him. They deal with the mafia. The mafia is not as strong as it used to be. But back in the day, it was one of the best sources of information because a mob, a guy in the mob was known by all the criminals around, and he could go into places that Americans could not go. I mean, American law enforcement or intelligence agencies could not go. And then he would come out and report to CIA, given the information that the CIA needed. Now, some of it was not true. Some of it was know, the gospel. And the CIA had to sort it out. The way they did that is they had to, they had information was confirmed three different ways. And if it confirmed three different ways, then they took it as gospel. If it failed to confirm, then they put it to the side and said, well, this may or may not be true. We'll just have to wait and see.
What do you think?
Economy has a lot to do with what we tolerate.
Same thing for this year and the next year and the year after and the year after. It's just that now we have to play because so many people in communication are out there as individual independents, and we never know what the independents are going to do in the intelligence field to change the playing field. That's why the NSA is so important with the satellites and the communications and the phones and the GPS, and why the criminals like to use throwaway phones and all of that. It's up to individuals to start learning how all the intelligence is kept up with in the communication field. Even though we're
the
using
intelligence run under a different rule. All right, they're allowed to do most anything that they need to do to gather information. So therefore, they can tap your phone line without going to courts and getting permission.
And they say national security.
Now, if they get caught at it, then they're going to have some trouble out of it. But
they just fix it.
You know, they've got equipment that they can tap your phone line and you'll never know it. If you ever be talking, you hear a click on your phone, you're being listened to. You ever been writing on your computer and it'll just kind of instantaneously black out and come right back on? I mean, it's just a beat. They're monitoring what you're putting on your computer.
What do you know about them using, like, children psychic soldiers and remote viewing and that sort of stuff? And
your
just
psychic stuff, honey. Even though we're on the air, folks, but we could be cut off any time. We can come back tomorrow night. But that is a powerful question.
They use any means of getting the information. And if they think a psyche, of course, like I said, a psyche says, okay, it's going to snow tomorrow. All right. They got to confirm that snowstorm coming three different ways.
What about their involvement with ETs? Like, which ET groups are they working with?
Ooh, good question.
A hard one to answer. There is two fashions. It's in our galaxy today. One fashion is just observing us, hanging tight in case they need us to defend them. The other fashion is actually here to protect us, but their curiosity is stronger than their willpower, and they're the ones that will take a human and do experiments and mental evaluations. A lot of people that the second fashion, which I call the bad guys, when they come back, they are not mentally sound anymore.
When they're done with the humans. And what about them taking genetic material, you know, sperm and ovum and women's fetuses, genetic?
They may do that.
Do you think
it's
a breeding program?
I cannot deny nor confirm it.
What about done with all the scientists in the mountain, Tom? The ones I've showed you and the ones you've seen.
What
scientists
Americans
in the mountain?
We have scientists from around the world.
That's
there.
That's the Dulce.
And they,
mm-hmm.
deal with extraterrestrial beings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think of it? This the whole William Cooper material about the Dulce Wars and the different levels of Dulce and how they're like torturing.
Now, he doesn't
know.
Study any of this, Janet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Cindy. He doesn't study. He only knows firsthand accounts. So understand the difference. He doesn't read hearsay.
I'm afraid I've never met the bad guy faction.
Of the ETs? Have you met the good
right.
guy faction of the ETs?
Yes.
Faction or
And tell me, could you speak about that, please?
Well, there's 20, at the time, there was 27 different species from 27 different galaxies. Go back and forth from their galaxy to ours through wormholes.
And how? Okay.
He goes with 27 instead of the ones like some of us do, Billy Myers, or some of us times say 67, some say 57.
Yeah,
just depends
that.
On who you talk to.
Heinz 57.
Right. But anyway, Tom goes back with the 27 originals at the Galaxy Federation level, what Janet and I would call working on Star Trek. Above, but at least Tom, can you give her the 27 Galaxy Federation level, because we know there's a higher. But now, does the council handle the 27 as far as you know?
Yes, they control the entire faction.
Ooh, all factions.
Which council?
There's one faction or one group, and there.
Can you tell
us
the different groups? As much as you can. I mean, are Anunnaki part of it? What do you think about Planet X and Nibiru and all that?
Well, you have to name a planet.
And then the are any of the reptilians good? Or, you know about Draco?
I've never seen a reptilian alien. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't either. That makes me question that as to
well,
what
I have,
the whole
so.
Story.
They were some strange-looking aliens on the command ship. I met all 27 different species.
Tell us about. Yeah, I really want to know. We want to know. We all want to know. I would say. Tell us about those 27.
Well, there's. I don't know how to tell you. They're just like I said. They were different.
Humanoid
configurations of beings. There were some that were different colors, anywhere from medium blue to
medium blue.
Yeah.
Mhm.
To white. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and then there were. They had. Snappers for hands, or they had four arms, or others. They were
Here's
different.
The blue with four
how
arms.
Did they,
India.
How did they communicate with you?
I had a translator box. Command of the command ship, furnished me with a. Translator box. They would speak in their tongue, and it would go through this box and come out English, where I could understand it.
Can you tell a little bit what their languages sounded like, and tell us
some of them were squeaks, and some of them were chatter, and some of them sounded like squirrels, and it was very different. And I'd say 95% of them had a written language as well as an oral.
And what was the agenda that they were working on with the government?
They don't work with the government. They
observe the United States. And you
and
originally
they,
said you originally said that they hang around in case they get into trouble, and I don't know if you meant to say they hang around in case we get into trouble.
No,
did you mean
I did
to
not
say
mean that?
That. Did you meant to say that they hang around?
To,
what?
They're not.
But you said they hang around in case they get into trouble. I don't.
Trying to answer you.
Mm-hmm.
They are not aggressive creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And they, that's why they pick the earth. And there is another faction, or faction out there that is a very war type.
Mm-hmm.
And they come into a planet and they take all the minerals and leave the planet barren.
Mm. Is that like Draco or Anunnaki?
I'm not sure. And so the best way to describe it, it's like Worf on Star Trek.
Is it like, you know, certain areas like the Middle East or maybe the Western states, where they, did they have their minerals taken? Like certain areas that they look a little bit disheveled?
No.
Or do you think it was nuclear war in the Middle East in the past?
I think it was just nature, mostly. No, they haven't, because they don't just take a section of the planet.
They take everything. So, like, they totally destroy the planet.
Right.
Do you think that's what happened to Mars?
No, Mars is too far away from the sun. It's too cold. There's no oxygen. Anyone that believes that there is life on Mars is barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah, but honey, they don't know. They really don't know what we know now. But be honest with them. Go ahead and tell them the history of Mars prior to being in the habitable zone where we are now, Earth. Go ahead and tell her the truth that's way before the Anunnaki.
Well, many eons ago, Mars was opposite on the same, orbit as Earth, but it was opposite of the sun from us. So therefore, the sun always hid it from us. And it, since it was traveling at the same time and in the same track as the Earth, and it was many, 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 many eons ago where there wasn't telescopes, there was water and air and vegetation and wildlife and I believe human life.
Did it have a moon? Did it have a moon, and is our moon natural?
Like I said, it happened neon years ago, so I wouldn't know if it had a moon or not.
Had two moons.
But it was slung out of orbit, and it ended up where it is today. And if you listen to scientists, they're telling you that planet, Mars, is slipping deeper into space every year. Not much, but just a little bit. It starting to pull out away from the sun because it's losing the gravity of the sun. That's what keeps us all where we're at.
Did some ET race get it off the trajectory with, you know, the?
Explain to her about knowing the asteroid way before Atlantis and Lemuria. Tell her the history of how it got knocked off of the, you know, its trajectory.
Well, I'm not sure I know the history of.
But it was it artificially? It was artificially done, and by who?
No, it was a natural thing.
It was a cataclysm of an EO.
Mars has been where it's at now ever since we've had telescopes. So anything prior to that is just guesswork.
Except for
the
connections of people like us
that
could
have had water, plant life, and all that is it had to be a certain distance from the sun.
But honey, there's superheroes like in their movies here of people like you and I that are DNA enhanced that have the educational level of what they would call on this planet God, sweetie. You understand what I'm saying?
Am I
in that group with you?
A lot of this had been explained to me by the ETs. I made
which
several
ETs?
Trips.
Which ones
that we call extraterrestrials on planet Earth.
But if you can, when you say ETs, if you could tell which ones they are, that would really be nice.
Well, see, they don't.
All right.
Well, the way in her storyline, Tom and her storyline. Oh, wait, they
group,
don't have that storyline.
The lead group is humanoid.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference between them and a person born here on Earth is they only have three fingers. The fourth finger on each hand is not there. They could surgically put one there, so therefore they can come on Earth and walk around and not be noticed. They're the ones that are in control of the ships that are out there, and the 26 other species are fragments of worlds that the warring faction has destroyed. So therefore, they're allies. They want us to be allies, but they want us to develop naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore they don't want to get involved in our nuclear physics or our space programs. They want us to develop it on our own.
But when,
so
when America
observe.
When America dropped the atomic bomb on Japan, they say that was like a wake-up call to the rest of the galaxy, because we weren't supposed to have that yet. Do you know any? And also, if you can confirm or deny what they say about, first it was Eisenhower meeting with different ET groups, but even before that, FDR meeting with and making agreements with ET groups.
He's talking about the Anunnaki. They arrived here at 443,000 BC, honey. And what we know about is the people that came before the Anunnaki.
Well, I'm talking about more recently, you know, with FDR, with Roosevelt, and also with Eisenhower.
Well, you know, like I said, rumors can get out of control. I don't know. I can't deny nor confirm that they had meetings with E.T. or didn't.
Yeah, he came into being in 80-93, and yet he has a timeline with the 47 connection. And
wait, I'm confused.
It's sort of hard to explain.
What is that? He came into being. This, are you like a walk-in? And what do you say? Are you talking about 1947? What's going on?
Well, there's different timelines for different people. So, like dimensions,
mm-hmm.
and this is a whole nother show. But Tom, can you tell? Tom, go ahead and tell her about your DNA enhancement in this lifetime, because it's going to be very hard for people to understand.
There are some things that does not need to be discussed on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I would prefer to not go into that.
Yeah, let's say. Stories right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's at a later time. It's sort of like the Old Testament, New Testament. And people have to discover for themselves their own timelines. And each individual, sometimes they cross over, Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we can go into. But for now, the world's going to think it's science fiction.
I just had a beep on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, that's monitored. Yeah, and I would love to hear that from you privately, because I'm exploring timelines of my own.
Yeah, sure.
Now,
I get that.
When you talked about having DNA enhanced, were you talking about you and Tom, or you and me, or all of us?
Well, I only know the ones that work with us on the ship, Cindy. I've never met you or Janet. And each person has to discover for themselves. I'm not confirming or denying either way. I wouldn't do that to you. I wouldn't tell you you are or you're not. I mean, whether I was a
spiritual advisor, psychic,
or just a friend,
yes,
I just wouldn't do that.
Yes. No, but I am very aware that there's something funny going on with timelines.
I can just tell you my impressions of Janet, that Janet's a very old soul, but she and I have confirmed our dreams, suspicions, intuitions from hours and hours of getting to know each other prior to this radio show. However, there's a lot about me she has no idea, and I'm sure it's vice versa. And those are things we discover as friends, and I think that's part of being on this planet is why we're all here as a species. Now, I don't know the ultimate plan, but I can tell you that I've died enough times to, I guess you could say three's a charm, and that's sort of in your emerald tablets and other things, that there's some storylines that are on Earth that cross over in what you call history that can confirm or deny your own story while you're on your path and journey. It's sort of like being on that celestial prophecy book. It was fiction, but was it? You know what I'm saying? Because that's words of people's stories, and then you find out it was just fiction. You know what I'm saying? And then you're like, well, am I fiction then? You know, it's one of those stories. It's like who came first or what came first, the chicken or the egg? And that's why we create what we're creating, why Janet wanted to get to the Stargate to the cosmos, was get to the bottom of not just UFOs like the MUFON. They want to be strictly about UFOs. I even offered to help them. I even offered to put an advertisement in their book. And sort of turned me down, so to speak, because they want to stick strictly to UFOs with their old board of directors and their editor, Roger Marsh, although he thought it was a good idea, but he has to stick with 24 pages. So, see, there's all these people making decisions for us, and then all this information goes out to the MUFON. Well, whatever Janet and me and you create, someday people might say, well, that's controlled by the old board of directors as to what we let get out to the public. And it sort of goes on and on and on, and then we have blame and all that. So you know the story. So we're all writing our own stories.
Well, I can say that I don't feel like I've been controlled in any way of anything that I said here. I mean, I think that's
pretty
free reign.
No, I'm trying to make a point that if we start letting all this information out right now, it's like I'm trying to make an analogy that MUFON will only let so much out, and it's controlled by the board of directors. You get it, the MUFON
journal. Oh, like they're controlling what they let out, MUFON.
Yes, and that's usually the way it is with everything. And unfortunately, this show has probably been off. I mean, we should have ended it, what, how many minutes ago, 36 minutes ago, because we're on a timeline, and I only paid for 2 hours. But for some reason tonight, they let us go over.
They liked what we were talking about. It got pretty interesting with the ETs.
All right, well, I need to let everybody go. Janet's usually off the phone, man. Zam, she's got an appointment. So thanks, Janet, for staying. It was really good. I think all of us got the energy.
Hi, Janet.
It was interesting. I didn't want to interrupt. Let's do this again. And that was another great show. It's a wrap.
Okay, it's a wrap. And we'll be here Saturday and Sunday if anybody wants to join us. Good night, Hugh, and good night, Cindy, and good night, Jim.
Yeah,
Thank you so much.
Real quick, CIA is the, look it up, it's Culinary Institute of America.
Okay. Oh, yeah,
well,
I know. I've seen CIA. My dad was a culinary artist.
Yeah, but no, the Central Intelligence Agency, because it's the Nazi Party, the Central Powers were Germany.
Yeah, well, you don't know what they're cooking in those kitchens, so that's
I went to CIA a couple of times. They had good food there.
Oh.
What were you doing at the CIA?
Well,
the one, the
Hyde
Culinary
Park,
Institute up in Hyde Park.
You should go there.
It's a great place.
Oh, okay.
I went there like years ago, and then more recently they expanded it. They have all sorts of dining. You know, you pay to eat there like a restaurant. It's a great place.
Oh, okay. So that's the name of it, huh?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Culinary Institute of America.
Yeah, Google it on your
computer.
Okay,
close to where you guys are.
And what was it, Capital International Airways? Wasn't that also CIA, Capital Internet? Was that what they were called?
There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
and those
you guys know a lot because you're from history area of the world, you know. And Cindy, you just absolutely amaze me at how many topics you absolutely know something about. You may not be, you know, right down to the nuts and bolts of it, but you're a really good historian.
Oh, wait until she gets into the new math with you.
Oh, no way. Seriously? I'm not
a
math
person.
Are you good at math, Teresa?
No. Oh.
Because, you know, I constantly have a problem with the new math. I'll give you a real quick example as we close out the show. What is half of 12?
Six.
See, that's the problem. Everybody says that. That's the new math. That you have to go back in time in order to get the correct answer. Half of 12 is 7. If you take the Roman numeral 12, XII, you draw a horizontal line across the middle, you get 7. That's the old math.
I got it. Do you get it? He's talking
the
Roman
old math. You cut it in half. You take the old math
line
and you Roman numerals.
XII for 12.
You cut it in half.
7.
Why do you cut it in half?
Because then you get VII. That's 7.
Roman numerals.
Sound like a joke. All right. Well, folks, we hope you've enjoyed it. We've covered a lot of ground. You can believe it or not. Doesn't matter. The thing is, we hope we entertained you. And, you know, if this turns out to be some history for everybody, great. If, you know, if it's just Ace Folk Life, if you just heard folklore, great. I'm here to do what I can to be here every day, basically just to be here every day.
And just, like, let's try to stay on the positive timeline and not get into this fear stuff.
Yeah, we can try to stay on the positive timeline and do what we can to make the world a better place by helping each other. And we'll try to do is what we can to share information every day. And we welcome you. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we never know. Okay, we may have one day where we interest you, and maybe the next day we don't. So we do our best. And honestly, there's no controlling the future as far as I'm concerned. We can only do our best one day at a time. We hope for the best, but we plan for the future, which they say, plan for the worst and hope for the best, whatever that is in your life. I would say always have food, clothing, and shelter in mind, and then worry about your entertainment. But we do need our communication tools of our phones. Some people go without TVs nowadays because they can get it on their phones and computers. So I don't know where we're headed in the future, but it's going to be fun finding out. So stay with me if you can. I appreciate it. Cindy and Hugh, you're always welcome. I hope you guys come back. You're always informative and add something to the show. Never forget that. We're all important. And I hope you'll tell your friends and ask them to tune in, too. So, everybody, hopefully we'll be here same time, same station, and the Lord willing, the creek don't rise. So, you know, may God bless. If you don't believe in God, then may the force be with you. I don't know any other way to say it to atheists. Hugh, what am I supposed to say to atheists?
God help you.
May God help you. Okay, folks. Well, Cindy, I hope you're getting some of that book typed for Hugh. I told you we're all the authors of our own life story, and if you can help another get their book written, then that's a wonderful thing. If you got depression, then get involved in somebody else's life. You know what they say, if you're thinking about the past, that's depression. If you're thinking about the future, that's aggression or hyper anxiety, but if you're in the now, you're just being here now. So
in the present.
That's why the present
is a gift. It's a present.
The present is a gift. All right, folks. Well, hopefully you'll be back, Cindy and Hugh. I hope you join us. We're going to cut out of here, and I'm fixing to transport you out. So we'll see you tomorrow night, folks. And I don't know who will be here. We'll have to tune in to see. Okay, good night. Thank you for joining us. Sorry. See y'all tomorrow.